Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, July 13th, 2020. This morning I will talk about pruning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Almighty Father, spare us, Lord, from a divided heart, an indecisive mind, and a conniving spirit. Prune the eye that sins, the hand that grasps, and the ears that itch to hear anything other than your word. Intensify our love of your law and apply that love to in gracious hearts and discerning minds. Instill in us your Holy Spirit, holy affections, and sanctified thoughts that we might be truthful to ourselves, to others, and most of all to you. Grant us your whole armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and a sword of your word, that we might serve our entire lives as examples of your godliness. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Matthew 5:27-29, we read, "You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone that looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than the whole body be thrown into hell." The sixth beatitude focuses on a clean heart. Honored are the pure in heart. But how can I remove the impurities? Jesus provides three methods: pruning, intensifying, and applying. Pruning. Jesus gives two metaphors of pruning: cutting away unnecessary or unwanted growth to make a plant stronger and more fruitful. This is John 15:2. The first metaphor involves eyes. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. This is Matthew 5:29. The second metaphor involves hands. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Matthew 5:30. In both metaphors, we remove sin from our lives by pruning. The eye gouging and hand chopping metaphors could also have been heard by Jesus' audience as a messianic call to arms. When the prophet Samuel anointed Saul, messianic king of Israel, he said to him, "And you shall reign over the people of Israel, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies." This is 1 Samuel 10, verse 1. Notice the hand metaphor in this blessing. Saul's first act as king is to save the besieged city of Jabesh Gilead from an Amorite king whose condition for surrender was, "On this condition I make a treaty with you, that I gouge out all your right eyes, and thus bring disgrace to all Israel." This is 1 Samuel 11:2. Understanding the story of Saul, Jesus' metaphor might be interpreted as saying, "Stand on your own two feet." Jesus' pruning metaphors imply that sanctification, the casting off of sin and the taking on of godliness, is serious business. Eyes and hands are part of the body, part of us, that are not easily discarded. If the threat of sin were trivial, then a better analogy may have been to trim your nails or cut your hair. If sin threatens both our physical and spiritual lives, then amputation is an acceptable option, and the analogy is not hyperbolic. Intensify. Jesus widens the scope of commandments under the law by drilling into the motivation for breaking them, intensifying the scrutiny given to sin. For example, when Jesus talks about adultery, he focuses on lustful looks that corrupt the heart, not the sinful act that follows. As evangelist Billy Graham reminds us, what does the word adultery mean? It is derived from the Latin root from which we get the word adulterate, which means to corrupt, to make impure, or to weaken. If sin begins in the heart, then sanctification must strive for purity of heart, and not only avoiding sin, but pursuing godliness, as the Apostle Paul writes. But that is not the way that you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and you are taught in him, as the truth is in Christ, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in the true righteousness and holiness. This is Ephesians 4:20-24. The likeness of God, of course, refers to the divine image in creation, as implied in the word godliness, used by Paul in admonishing Timothy. train yourself for godliness. This is 1 Timothy 4:7. Apply. In the Jewish mindset, it makes no sense to separate heart and mind, or faith from action, as we read in James. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. This is James 1:22-25. As a devout Jew, James almost certainly shared Jesus' conviction that the unity of person, heart and mind implies unity of faith and action. In fact, the gap between what we say and what we do is a good measure of the amount of sin in our lives. After all, Jesus was the first person in Scripture to use the word hypocrite, which means two-faced, saying one thing and doing another, as in Matthew 23:25. Prior to Jesus, a hypocrite was just an actor on a Greek stage. Unity of faith and action is, of course, a divine attribute, as we see in the life and work of Jesus Christ. In life, Jesus modeled God's sinless nature for us. In death, he redeemed us from our sin. In resurrection, he gave us the hope of salvation. And in ascension, he intercedes for us before Almighty God. Following the ascension at Pentecost, Jesus conferred on the church and on us the Holy Spirit to assist us in overcoming our sinful nature. So when we act in unity of faith and action, we echo the Trinity. As we read in Deuteronomy 6:4-5, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. In this manner, we model God's sinless nature to those around us. Modeling Christ, we must prune, intensify, and apply if we are to be pure in heart and see God. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.